Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, the hospitality sector is warning that it's at a crisis point and wants government to intervene before more restaurants are forced to close. It comes following a number of high-profile venues shut up shop over the past few days, including Nash 19 on Princes Street in Cork. For more on this, we're joined by Adrian Cummins, who's Chief Executive of the Restaurant Association of Ireland, Chef Gary O'Hanlon and Stephen Vaughan, who's owner of White Rabbit in Cork. And White Rabbit announced this weekend that their branch on McCurtain Street is closing at the start of February. First though, Adrian Cummins, to you. You are saying that the industry now is at crisis point. What's happening and what do you want government to do?
That's correct, Claire. We are at a crisis point. Governments need to intervene immediately. We're looking for the reinstatement of the 9% VAT rate for food-led businesses across the state. We're looking for the warehouse tax for our industry to be extended over a 10-year period of repayment. And also they need to sit down with us in terms of the overall cost structure for our industry in terms of a support package around that. Otherwise, you're going to see nearly up to 500 businesses in the next 2 to 3 months that will close. We're at 282 businesses on Thursday evening. You can add another two to that, includes the White Rabbit announcement and another business in Mayo over the weekend. And there seems to be every day 2 to 3 businesses closing down that are food-led in this country.
So based on the last couple of months, you're saying that it could be another 500 over the next 2 to 3 months?
We'll be up to 500
by the end
of February, beginning of March, is our estimate at the rate of businesses closing down at the moment.
You mentioned the warehouse tax there. Will you explain that for people who might not be aware what is going on that front?
So there's 280 million euros worth of warehouse tax due back to the state from food-led businesses that was accumulated over the pandemic. That's where a business was able to put that tax due to the state into a, let's call it a warehouse, and the promise to the revenue that they will pay it back at some period of time at an interest rate on that of about 3%. That's falling due now in May, where the revenue is looking for that warehouse tax to be paid back. And we know from our members that they just don't have that level of money to pay back in May. And we're saying very clearly, there has to be a repayment period of up to 10 years for these businesses. So, you know, whatever is due back to the state, they will pay back, but we need to extend that period from 3 years out to 10 years. So it's important that the government speak with revenue and allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, these businesses won't have the cash flow to remain in business, and then they will liquidate and close down.
And the reduction in the VAT rate down to 9% for the sector. Now, surely that would mean that you would just be cutting, that your members will be cutting prices that they're charging to their consumers.
No, we're saying that the 9% VAT rate is the right rate for our industry to be sustainable and viable. We said this to the government when they proceeded in increasing the VAT rate from 9 to 13.5% last September. This is the wrong thing to do, and it was going to close businesses. And now you can see that businesses that are closing, they are saying very clearly that the VAT rate was one of the factors that has closed their business. And we saw there over the high-profile closure last week of a business in Cork, where it was very clear that it was the 9% VAT rate that closed that business. We're saying to government now is that the 9% VAT rate must be reinstated in line with the rest of Europe, and which is an argument that we put forward back in last September. So we need to have that back in place as quickly as possible.
Okay, well, let's talk to Stephen Vaughan now, owner of White Rabbit. Stephen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So you've made this decision that your branch on McCurtain Street is going to close just in a couple of weeks, in 2 weeks' time. Why did you...
The 4th of February we're going to close it.
Why?
The cost, as Adrian outlined there, the cost kind of associated with running a restaurant like that, they've just become unabsorbable, you know, and we've got to the stage where there's only so much you can absorb and there's only so many times you can put up the price of the food before you start seeing negative consequences then, you know, and the way things are going. We had a long, hard look at it over Christmas and since Christmas, and it's just it's not feasible to keep going the way that we're doing it, you know.
And it's not that you're not full, is that right?
No, we're very busy. We're as busy as we've ever been. Obviously, you know, January is quiet, but we're not seeing a decrease in numbers over the last 6 months. It's literally down to the price of feeding those people that are coming in. They've all these prices have gone up in multiples, you know. Our electricity bill is double what it was 2 or 3 years ago. The VAT increase last September, anybody who listened to anyone in the restaurant industry last September would have known that this was coming, you know, for various businesses. The Restaurants Association were very loud about it, and nobody took any attention, you know. Nobody paid any notice. And now the fruition of that is coming through, where businesses are having to close on the back of it, you know.
So electricity and VAT, they're the two things you mentioned. Is there anything else?
Yeah, but also the cost of the inputs, so is the food prices, as everyone knows, for taking home your shopping at the end of the week. It's the same for restaurants. What we buy in is gone up as well, you know. And there's only so many times you can put up the prices. Like I said, we've always kind of prided ourselves on kind of serving unpretentious food in an unpretentious environment. And you can't say that you're a server. You can't sell unpretentious food at €22 a plate. You know, that's fine dining level. And people, that's not our customer base. And it's not what people are prepared to pay, you know.
And what about staff costs? Is that an issue?
It hasn't been a huge one for us. But again, it looked like it was going to become one. We kind of always prided ourselves on paying above minimum wage. I'm not saying that restaurants that pay minimum wage are doing anything wrong, but we always did a bit above. The problem that leads on to by increasing the minimum wage is that the waiter, the waitress or the bartender, who was quite happy with their lot 2 months ago because they were getting paid €2 or €3 above minimum wage, they now want to see that increase as well. So it's not just staff at minimum wage are going to get the wage increase. All staff will look for it, you know, and rightly so. But it's not a cost that we can absorb. It's not part of the business model, you know.
Yeah. Can I talk to you a bit more about what you were charging customers and what by rights you should be to cover your costs? So say you have a main, and if people can imagine this, they're going in to have something like, let's say, a pork sandwich, right? I assume that would be served with what? With salad or chips or something?
If you come, we do a pulled pork sandwich and two sides, and at the moment there, that's €13.95.
Okay, which is very reasonable.
To maintain the margin that we had 2 years ago, if we were making the same money out of that sandwich and two sides that we were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we should be charging €18 or €19 for it. People won't pay it, and we don't want to be charging that amount of money. But if we wanted to maintain the margins that were profitable, that's what we would be charging. We're not charging it because, again, people don't want to pay it and we don't want to charge it, but it's unsustainable with the cost so high. The restaurant business is very low margin, you know, and any time a cost increase comes in, if we passed on every increase to the customer, we'd be charging astronomical amounts of money.
Stephen,
what we would like to regard as affordable food, you know, that's what we always did.
I don't want to leave people with the impression that White Rabbit is gone, because you're not.
We're not, no. We have two other outlets. We're in the Marina Marcus in Cork, and we have a deli in Princess Street in the city centre. They're different business models, so they're good for now, you know. They're kind of... their lower staff costs going in there, and there's no front of house service involved with it. A lot of it is takeaway. The Marina Market is a great setup for vendors in terms of being able to manage costs. But the full service restaurant, like we had in McCartan Street, which was our first restaurant, which kind of launched the brand or kind of established us as what we do, the costs associated with that are too high, you know. So.
Okay, well, Stephen, we wish you well and thanks very much for talking to us today. And look, hopefully things might change in the near to medium term. We might see you back on McCartan Street at some point, but thanks for talking to us. I want to go to Gary O'Hanlon, who's culinary consultant to the O'Sullivan Group in Paris and well-known chef, of course, here. Good morning, Gary.
Hi, Claire.
I know you're actively, or at least you have been very recently, looking at opening your own place in Ireland. What's stopping you?
Yeah, well, look, it's one of a few options that I looked at, Claire, for sure. Yeah, so probably at some stage last year, you know, from this year onwards, I've just gone to a consultancy role in Paris. So I was like, you know, do I continue taking on more work in France or look to moving back to Ireland, either to work in a hotel, restaurant, or even to buy somewhere? So I'm quite lucky that I was in a position financially like this to, you know, think about at least opening somewhere. So I've done due diligence on four or five different businesses, and some of them quite well known. All of the above, all of them trading really well. In fact, year on year, getting better and better and better. And the only the only line that was changing as the years were going by was profit margins, and it was just getting lower and lower to the point where it basically disappeared in the mall. After four or five different places I looked at, not one single one of them was viable. And on the face of it, when you look at the mall, all ran brilliantly, all trading better year on year. Obviously, you can't take in, when you go to a bank, you can't take in 2020 or 2021. So I was back as far as 2017, 2018. And even the difference from 2019 to 2022, it's too early yet for 2023 figures. But the rate that employment costs went up, but the cost of energy and the cost of ingredients was just biblical. I never seen anything like it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I put up a tweet around a month ago or before Christmas, and I said, you know, I've got used to working in France, and they love a protest, as most people know. And I just said, like I'm amazed that the only person I ever see really out there, and I know it's Adrian's job, and I quoted Adrian a few times in the media over the last week, that, you know, he's the spokesperson that goes, is it a case of the man that cried wolf? Is nobody really listening here? Like, or why is everybody? Because if this was France, everyone would be out on the street. And I mean every restaurateur and every chef and anybody associated with the hospitality sector. Because I just said, like, there's obviously a tsunami of closures on the way, because
some of the places I've looked at are struggling.
Everyone's struggling.
It's this really weird situation. And Stephen explained it so well there, where the public see that the restaurants and coffee shops are busy, you know, and they are busy. Yeah. They are busy. There are people going in there. So it's hard for people, I suppose, to see that there is a problem. What we don't see is that there's no money at the end of it for the owner.
Yeah. And that's I was nodding my head in my office here at the house listening to Stephen there, because one business in particular, if I go from 2019 to 2022, probably went up 400 grand in sales, which for a small business was an astronomical rise. You're talking busy restaurant, and it went from being really profitable to 30-40 grand in losses in its best year in 6 years. So the best year that it had in 6 years was the only year it lost money. And that is the problem with the public, whenever you see restaurateurs or people in the business giving out or up on Twitter or just, you know, saying it in conversation, whatever, like going, the place is packed, the place is, and they're like going, you just haven't a clue. I mean, even if you look at it from your own household, anybody at all, if they look at popping to the shop, if you've got a family or a partner and you've two or three kids or three or four under the one roof, you know, the 20 or 30 quid when you popped into the local store is now 50, 60, 80, 90 euro for the same stuff. And if anybody hasn't noticed that, then I don't know what they're looking at. And it's not beef, it's not veal, it's not lamb, it's carrots, it's onions, it's tomatoes, mm-hmm. it's every little ingredient, milk. I mean, don't start any chef on the cost of dairy, because that's just been a rapid rise for many years. And it's every ingredient, you know.
And in France, what's happening? What's your experience there?
Well, the thing about France for me, Claire, for the last 5 years, is like I've worked in a very different world. I've worked in a private chateau model. So I'm not working in a public place or a public restaurant. Like, mm-hmm. it's a private villa, private chateau rental for the last 5 years. But as of mid-February, I'll be taking over as a consultant in a new opening. Like, but the thing about Paris, I suppose, it's volume, really. You know, it's apart from the summer, where the Parisians kind of leave and it does get a bit quieter, tourists take over. But one thing that I've learned about Paris is, you know, rates and stuff like that, it's all favourable to the restaurateur. They cap things over there. Like, it's not a case of you go right into the city centre, or like Opera Bastille is where I'm helping these guys open a place at the minute, design the kitchens over the last 6 months, and it's due to open now in February. So I'm in a consultancy role there. So as far as the day-to-day yet, I haven't fully experienced it. But certainly, you know, when I met with them over the last 12 months and I had conversations with them talking about, you know, why Paris, why business here, they just says, well, you know, everything is a bit more in your favour to do business in Paris as opposed to Dublin
or Ireland. It's just, you know, rates aren't crazy. It's affordable. They want independent businesses and restaurants on the streets of Paris.
Well, it says a lot if you've looked at four or five profitable or rather successful restaurant models and you still can't make it work. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, I was in a position, you know, I've been cooking at a fairly good level for 30 years as of this year gone by. I'm 45 now, and it would have just, I mean, I never really wanted to own somewhere, but like a potential couple of places kind of came up over the last while. And I was like, you know, I spoke to Annette, my wife, and I was like, God, you know, like at least it's something maybe to look at. So we did look at it. And, you know, I'm at a stage where like it would be nice to do your own thing or do whatever. And then when I started looking under the bonnet, I suppose, for use of a better phrase, I was just like, oh my God, it goes like, and the banks want to give you money. Like the banks will look at my career, and I've done work with many of the banks over the years, like at events and shows. So I've built relationships with them. They want to support you. But at the end of the day, they're not giving you money based on the value of a property. They're giving you money based on an accumulation of profits.
Yeah,
and if
what
there's
you can
nothing
make.
There, if there's no profits there, there's just no money there. So mm-hmm. not only are these places now that we're seeing closing, but unless you're going to walk in with a check for $800,000 or $900,000 or $1 million or $1.5 million, and nobody can do that bar possibly big groups or whatever it'll be, there's nobody going to replace. There's not another restaurateur or a chef that maybe feels they want to take a punt at it. And I think it's a really, really worrying time for the industry, you know.
Well, Adrian, what's your next step going to be now? I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, we've sought a meeting with the Minister for Finance and Minister for Enterprise, looking for an immediate meeting with them over the next week or so to sit down and explain to them, you know, that our industry is in crisis. They have heard it now from their grassroots, from the business owners that have closed down. We know that these business owners that have closed down, that have articulated the issues to them. So, you know, we need to know what the plan is from government, what they're going to do for us. And that's our first step. But we know that this is going to affect not just restaurants, it's coffee shops, it's pubs that serve food. We're all in the same boat. Any food-led business now is very, very vulnerable at the moment. And the government need to understand that if they don't do something with an immediate effect, you're going to see up to 500 businesses close by the end of February, beginning of March. And that's not good for every town, village and community. And especially as we head into the tourism season, there'll be certain areas of this country where a tourists won't be able to get a bite to eat.
All right, well, we'll watch and wait and see what happens. Adrian Cummins and Gary O'Hanlon, thank you both for joining us, and also Stephen Vaughan, who we heard from a little earlier. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.